Today we're going to talk about doing God's will. How do we know what God's will is for our life? How do we do God's will once we know it? How important is it that we rely on the grace of God and His assistance? God has a plan for our life. He's got a plan. Not only long term, not only does He have a plan for your vocation, whether or not He's created you to be a religious, whether or not He's created you to be a priest, whether or not He's created you to be a married person. And not only has He chosen, if you're chosen to be married, He already has in mind who it is He wants you to marry. He already has in mind what religious order He wants you to join. He already has in mind if you are called to be a diocesan priest or a religious priest. And how important it is that we follow the will of God in these things. Because if we choose the wrong vocation in life, we'll be truly miserable. And not only that, but many souls might be lost because God has put us here on this earth for their salvation. Now, not only do we have this long-term vocational call from God, but we should have great confidence that God has a plan for us right here, right now, in the present moment. So God's plan takes place right now, right here in the present moment. So before we get into knowing what God's will is and how we do God's will and how that leads to our sanctification, before we get into that, we have to first have great confidence in God that absolutely everything that happens has happened because God has willed it and He has allowed it. And when I say God has willed it, I mean God has allowed it to happen through His passive will. If it's something bad, He's allowed it to happen. Why? Because He knows that this is for our greater good. So if we're rooted in humility, and let's say something tragic happens, let's say there's a tornado or there's a hurricane, which happens, you know, natural disasters are a part of our life. So if we have a supernatural outlook, if we have a great confidence in God, you know, if we're not being humble, what will happen? We'll say, God, why did you allow my house to be destroyed? God, why did you allow my fence to be broken? God, why did this happen? Why did that happen? And we'll be so disappointed. But when we're rooted in humility and we have great confidence in God, well, the first thing we recognize in humility is the truth about myself. The truth about myself is what? That I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to have all the great things that I have. I deserve only hell. And so everything that I even have, I should be very grateful for because I deserve infinitely worse. Everything that I've ever done well, I deserve to have failed it all. But God in His mercy has provided me with the circumstances and the means to be successful, to be fruitful in all the things that I have. So if we have a supernatural outlook, we'll say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving my life. Thank you for not taking all of my children. Thank you for only taking one. And I know that sounds comical in the moment, but truly, when we're looking at what we think we deserve, we're not being humble. Because in reality, what does God deserve? He deserves infinite. What have we given Him? We do not give Him infinite. And this idea that God deserves infinite, and that when we offend Him, we've offended Him, and the degree of the offense is infinitely great. And this is why Catholics, we can't do enough actions for God, because He deserves infinite actions. But what we can do is we can do them with love. Why love? Because it's not quantitative, it's qualitative. So it's not making up for our offenses in little ways, like, I committed 18 sins, I must do 18 acts of charity. No, you can do one little act with great love, and it'll cover a multitude of sins. It all depends on the love we have when we do it. And we're going to have a better understanding of what love really is towards the end. But I want to reemphasize this great confidence in God that is necessary. Because if we have great confidence in God and we have a distrust of ourselves, we know that what God is calling us to in the present moment, He'll give us the grace necessary to do the task. If God is calling you to be a religious and you don't want to be a religious, that you want to get married and you're so attached to your boyfriend and your girlfriend and you don't know what you'd do without him, guess what? Have great confidence that God will give you the grace to do His will. Have great confidence. If you're consecrated to God, not just in a religious consecration, but if you've consecrated yourself to God through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, like, for example, the St. Louis de Montfort consecration, or you're consecrating yourself in the style of Maximilian Kolbe, well, St. Louis de Montfort says that he's giving himself to Our Lady as her slave. I am your slave, Mother Mary. The will of God be done in my life, and I will serve you as a faithful slave does. How does this lend us when we're doing this in union with the Blessed Virgin Mary? How does our confidence in God come into play in this kind of circumstance? Well, think of it this way. If you're the slave of God, only doing His will, why? Why only God's will? Because God is greater than you. So if we're being truly humble, we want to do God's will. And one of the ways to look at it is you're God's slave, that you're indebted to Him for life. So let's say God's will for you is to, you know, do some difficult task. He wants you to go out and be a priest. He wants you to go out and be a married man and be faithful. Or He wants you to go out and be a teacher. Or He wants you to go out and be an evangelist. Or He wants you to go out in whatever way He's calling you. Whatever it is in the moment that God is calling you to do with great confidence, He's going to give you the graces necessary. Could you imagine if you're the slave of the Blessed Mother and the Blessed Mother wishes you to go do a task and you've got no means from which to do it? Of course, she's going to provide you the tools. She's going to provide you the means. Maybe you're broken. Maybe your soul and your heart has been broken so many times. Well, the Blessed Mother knows that she's sending a broken laborer out into the vineyard. Do you think she's not going to send you with the proper tools, with the proper graces? Of course not. She'll intercede with her spouse, the Holy Spirit, and make sure that you're getting all the graces necessary to do the will of God. And if this is the Blessed Mother, and this is how a good steward would do, you know, you're not going to send your workers out into the field without any tools and you expect them to yield a harvest? Impossible, right? How much better is the Blessed Virgin Mary than how much better is God that His will be done. He will give you the tools necessary. He will give you the graces necessary, despite your flaws, despite your weaknesses, if we're being humble. Why if we're being humble? Because when we're being humble, we glorify God. Because we're saying, God, I am just a creature. We're just living in the truth. God, I need you. Please help me. And He'll say, yeah, I'll help you. And the more humble you are, the greater you'll be exalted, the greater you'll manifest His glory, because you'll give all the glory to God. He doesn't have to worry about you robbing of Him of His glory. For example, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Why did she get all the grace? Why was she full of grace and she was able to do the most glorious work for God and bringing in our Savior into the world? Because she was so open and empty. She wasn't going to take any credit for herself. She was going to give all the glory to God. And she did in her Magnificat. Remember? And this is what she did all of her entire life. So, confidence in God. The second thing that I mentioned slightly, which we're going to go into a little bit more now before we get into how do we know God's will, is confidence in God in the present moment. Right now, the present moment. We have all these thoughts in our mind, and our memories are good. Our thoughts are good. Our emotions are good. They serve a purpose. However, we can still get in the way of that by dwelling on things that happened in the past, in focusing too much or worrying about things that are going to be in the future. Again, confidence in God. Leave your past to the mercy of God. Leave your future to the providence of God. Have great confidence that God will take care of the future in the future. A lot of times we worry or we dwell on situations that only exist in our imaginations. When we're in the past, we're living in the past, that the past is gone. It does not exist. The past 30 seconds ago is gone. We only have the present moment. It does not exist. It's kind of as if we're stepping forward onto little stones and they disappear as we take our foot off and they only appear in the moment right as you're putting your foot down. That's all you have is right now. So worrying about the past, it's only in your imagination. It does not exist. Let it go. I know that this is hard to deal with sometimes. Maybe you lose a loved one. Maybe somebody has hurt you in a serious way. It's over. It's gone. It does not exist. It only exists here in your memory. So put those thoughts away. Live in the present moment. Why do I say live in the present moment? Because this is what we have to understand. That there's sanctifying grace, yes, and those are the graces we receive in the sacraments. And there's actual grace. Actual grace is the grace that God gives you right here, right now, in the present moment. Well, you're worried. Am I going to sound right? Am I going to sound okay? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? And the truth is that God cannot apply actual grace to your memories and to your mental activities. He's only going to give you the grace in the moment. And He's giving you grace at every single moment. Actual grace. So what happens? If you don't worry about it, and you go up there when it's time to go up there, and you read when it's time to read, in the moment, God will give you the grace to do His will. And this is where confidence in God comes in. Many times we worry about circumstances that will happen in the future, and they never happen. And they always never occur the way we imagined that they would happen. It always ends up being different. Think about all of the things that you've worried about in your life in the past, just in the past year, past few months. And then if you can reflect, imagine how none of that happened the way you thought it would happen, and how your life has been changed by unexpected things. And that's what your life is. It's a series of unexpected things. You know you're going to work. You don't necessarily what's going to happen on your way to work. You don't know what's going to happen while you're at work. You don't know what's going to happen when you get home from work. But you think and you worry and you dwell, and all of this is a waste. Why? Because you're focusing on the future in your imagination, you're focusing on the past. And what are you doing? You're missing out in the actual grace that God desires to give you right now, right here in the present moment. So how does this apply on our everyday activities? Am I saying for you not to plan and prepare for your future? And no, because that's called prudence. But there's a time and the place. You do God's will right now. When it's God's will that you plan for your future at that time and that moment, you plan for your future at that time and that moment. If it's God's will right now that you have to take care of somebody who's sick, well, God's will is for you right now to take care of somebody who's sick. So remember what Jesus said to the apostles. He said, I will give you the Holy Spirit, and he will call to mind all of the things that I have said to you. So what happens? So you prepare for something, and then you let it go. You don't think about it. You don't worry about it in between the time from your preparation and the time of your actual activity. Why? Because you have confidence in God and the Holy Spirit. Brother Lawrence, he wrote The Practice of the Presence of God, a great little manual. It's only 20 pages. It's for free. You can download this, a PDF, off online. And he's constantly talking about how he went from moment to moment, and God provided him the grace in the moment. He did it in the presence of God. He was humble. He asked God's assistance in everything that he did, and he found that everything he did was completely good. It was so beautifully done. It was so well done, better than he could have ever imagined. And if you try this, it's going to be very fruitful for you, and it'll be very fruitful for all of your loved ones, because this is the way God created us. He told us in the scriptures that look at the flowers of the field. He's clothed them so beautifully, and they don't worry about the future. They don't worry about the past. Saint Therese, the little flower, should always say, I leave the past to God's mercy. I leave the future to God's providence. I do well not to think of the past, and I do well not to dwell on the future, because if I did these things, I would never have peace. The peace of God happens in the moment. It can be a great penance and a great act of reparation to sacrifice and to trust in God that he's going to take care of the future. And let's say you've done something wrong in the past. Maybe you haven't been obedient to the will of God. What do you say? You say, Lord, I'm sorry I wasn't doing your will. Please bring something good out of my mistakes. And he will. He will. Let's say you made a lot of mistakes. Maybe you're called to the priesthood, and you decided that you were going to be married on your own, and you married somebody, and it obviously wasn't the will of God that this person be your spouse, and you're having difficulty in your marriage. But you know what? You're stuck there now. What do? You humbly admit, Lord, I ruined it. I ruined your plan for my life. Please bring something good out of this mistake. I offer my entire life in reparation for this. I will humbly accept this cross which I have given myself. Please help me, Lord. And he will give you the grace. This is the way he works. Now, so I'm saying that you get the actual grace to do God's will in the present moment. So how do we know God's will in the present moment? Well, it's very simple. Well, one could say if it's happening, it's God's will. If you are at work, it's God's will that you're at work. But an easier way to see this is, what are your obligations? Being a saint does not necessarily mean that you have to do different great grand things. You don't necessarily have to change what you do, but you must easily change how you do them. You change your attitude. So in all honesty, being a great saint consists in doing little things right now in the present moment to the best of your ability. The Blessed Virgin Mary, the greatest saint that ever lived, what did she do in the moment? What did she do? She cleaned, she cooked, she changed Jesus' diaper, she took care of Saint Joseph. She took care of the household activities. These are everyday average activities, but they made her a great saint. She was perfectly united to the will of God in the present moment. So how does doing God's will make us a saint? And then we'll really get into how do we know God's will. Well, Saint Maximilian Kolbe came up with an equation to describe holiness, sanctification, happiness, according to our place in the world in the present moment. And that's the equation of capital W plus lowercase w equals S. Capital W being the will of God. Lowercase w being my will. The plus sign is the cross. It's a sacrifice out of love. Love is a sacrifice. How do you show your love for somebody? Well, how much are you willing to sacrifice for them? How does Jesus show us his love? Well, how much are you willing to sacrifice for the sake of the beloved? You will the good of the other person. That's how we know what love is. So when you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend and they say, oh honey, I love you. Oh, won't you give me kisses? Won't you rub me? Oh, do all sorts of dirty things to me because you love me. I'm your boyfriend. No. What is real love? Love is sacrifice for the sake of the beloved, not using somebody for your own selfish pleasures. So when we have the will of God and we have our will and we sacrifice our will for love of God, so we unite our will to the will of God out of love, this equals sanctification. This equals holiness. Wow, this is so simple. Yes, it is so simple. Wow, nobody's ever taught me this before. Well, I'm sorry. Now I'm teaching you. Okay, so capital W plus little w equals S, sanctification. So why do we say Mary's full of grace? Well, because she's so holy, that means she must have always been perfectly united to the will of God. And this is so true. And this is why the most beautiful things that she's ever says is her fiat. Thy will be done, Lord. And this is the hallmark of humility. If you are humble, ultimately, not only are you going to do the will of God, but you are going to do it with love. And you're going to do it joyfully because you know it's God's will. And it's going to make you holy. That's how you know whether somebody's holy. Do they do the will of God? Do they do it with love? The more you love God, the easier it is to do His will. The more you do His will, the more you'll love God as long as you remain in humility. It's like instead of a vicious cycle, it's a virtuous cycle. And again, this pathway for sanctification is independent, or it's not independent, it's actually dependent upon your sacramental life. But we're not talking about your sacramental life right now. Now we're talking about your disposition, the way you act, the way you hold yourself in between your sacraments, in between your devotions. This is going to be your spirituality, and this is the spirituality of the saints, and this is the spirituality of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and this is the spirituality that the Lord wishes us to have. This is the way Jesus did it. He was for 30 years he was working, or he was here on earth before his public ministry. What was he doing? He was doing little things, little things. All right, so how do we know the will of God besides focusing on what I should be doing in the present moment? God gave you a conscience. So how do we know the will of God? God gave us a conscience. What should I be doing right now? So at every moment, at all times, every day, you can know what's God's will. When you wake up in the morning, you recollect yourself, and you can even say, Lord, what should I be doing right now? You should get up and take a shower. Lord, what should I do next? And you know in your heart, what should you be doing? I should get breakfast. Lord, what should I eat? You don't get anything. You say, okay, well, I'm just going to pick whatever I want. And they say, can I eat cookies, Lord? And then your heart, you say, no, I can have a cookie, only half, because it's bad for me. I shouldn't be gluttonous and eating cookies for breakfast. I should be well-balanced. I have a body to take care of. So your conscience, yes, it's your best judgment. But the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches us that your conscience is more than just your best judgment. That when you are desiring to do the will of God, and you are silent, and you recollect yourself, and you put yourself in the presence of God, that in the silence and the depths of your heart and your soul, that God resides there in the conscience. And that when man listens to his conscience, he hears the voice of God. These aren't my words. These are the words of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. That when you are judged, you're going to be judged according to your conscience. Did you obey the law that God has written in your heart? Did you go out of your way to make sure that the law that God has written in your heart was well ordered and that you haven't disordered it with your sins, your natural inclination to sin? Because yes, our conscience is a moral compass. And let's say your moral compass points north and you keep doing something that's a little bit not north but a couple degrees to the right, which is wrong, venial sin, right? And you never correct your conscience, what will happen? You'll be traveling by a broken compass. And the farther you go in life, going by this broken compass, the farther off track you're going to be. That's why it's very important that we remain in humility, we correct our conscience, we do regular examination of conscience. That way we can have a working instrument, that we can be assured that when we go into silence, Lord, what should I be doing now? And then you know the will of God there. So if you're playing basketball, this is the thing, God's will for you is not for you to be a hermit, unless it's God's will for you to be a hermit. But for most people watching this, if you're a teenager, if you're an adult, and you're a student, and you're going to school, well, when you're at school, what's God's will for me? Well, God's will for me at school is to be a student and to be the best darn student I can be. We want to do everything as perfectly as possible, and that will be doing God's will. Now, again, so how do I know what God's will is? What are your obligations in the present moment? Who is the authority over you? Are you a child? You have parents. That means you do the will of your parents, and you do it when they ask you, how they ask you, in a way that will please them, as if it's the very voice of God speaking to you. If you are a student and you go to school and your teacher asks you, can you please get out your paper and your pencil? You do it as if God himself was asking you to get out your paper and your pencil. If you are a employee and your boss is telling you something, yes, you do your work the very best you can because God has put that boss over you. Now, disobedient, and if you're religious and your superior asks you to do something, you do it as if God himself asked you to do it. Now, are you allowed to ask a question or make a suggestion? Yes, in respect, but ultimately, you're bound to do the will of this employer, you're bound to do the will of this superior, as if it's the very voice of God speaking to you. Now, there comes a little problem. What if they're asking me to do something sinful? What if my parents are saying that I cannot pray, and I cannot pray the rosary, or I cannot be a religious, or I cannot XYZ? Or what if my superior is telling me to go steal from the bank? Well, you're not bound to do the things that are contrary to the law of God. According to faith and morals, you must obey the law of God over the law of man. What if my parish priest is telling me that I have to stand up to receive communion? Well, you don't have to be obedient to him. Why? Because the law of the Holy Father of the Church is greater than the law of the parish priest. You owe obedience first and foremost to Christ and to his vicar on earth. And the vicar on earth has said that you have the freedom and that you are not to be considered disobedient. And so the only person being disobedient is your parish priest or is your CCE director. All right, but obviously we have to give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they don't know better. If we were in their shoes and their circumstances growing up, you never know. We'd probably not only be telling people to not kneel, we'd be telling people to spit the Eucharist on the floor, because who knows how bad and how wretched we would be if we were so ignorant and if we didn't have the grace. All right, so now we know how to do the will of God. After this video is done, you say, Lord, what should I be doing? And then you're not going to hear a voice. Maybe you'll hear a voice, but I'm hoping you don't. Well, I'm not hoping you don't hear a voice, but I'm planning on you not hearing a voice. But what do you have? You have your conscience. So next time you're at Walmart and there's an old lady there with a bunch of bags and you feel like, oh, this poor old lady, she's so weak. And you don't hear any voice, but in your heart, you're feeling it. Yes, I must go help this lady. It's God's will that I help this lady. Maybe in your heart you feel like you should do something that you feel morally obligated. But you think, oh, it's too great. It's too great of a task. Well, hey, that's why you have the Blessed Virgin Mary at your side. She'll train you. She'll take care of you. She'll remind you that God provides the grace. Reflect on the life of our Lord. Reflect on the life of Our Lady, where she said, yes, thy will be done. Even though it sounded crazy. Oh, the angel came to me and said that I'm going to have the Son of God. Wow, how is that going to happen? Oh, my husband, Saint Joseph, he's not going to like this, that I'm getting pregnant. He might think that I'm committing adultery. Well, what did she do? She says, the will of God be done. He will provide the grace in the present moment. And what happened? In the present moment, the grace was provided. What happened? St. Joseph got the dream. Wow. So, what do? We do God's will. How? And this is the most important thing. How do we do it? How do we do it? So now we know God's will. After this video, you say, God, what is your will for me? And your will for you might be to clean the car. His will for you might be to do your homework. Whatever you feel it in your heart with that tug, when you're about to do something bad, you're about to steal $5, or you're about to look at pornography, or you're about to do something bad, you're about to be rash judgment, you're about to send a nasty email, you feel it in your heart. You feel in your heart, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. And then that's God's will. Don't do this. That's how you're going to be judged. Did you obey? Did you disregard? All right, so now we know what to do. Now the second part, how do we do this activity? We do it with great love. With great love. And we'll notice that not only when we do activities with great love, that we also do them better to the best of our ability. For if we're really doing this out of love, it'll be done so greatly. Even if, and I'll explain why, and then we'll get into what happens when it's not done greatly. So, for example, Michael Jordan, Roger Clemens, Tiger Woods, all these great athletes, what happened? The best games of their life that they've ever played were when they played them because of a deceased relative, because their mommy died, or their daddy died, or somebody died, and they're saying, I'm dedicating this game. Even Babe Ruth, remember? He said, that little boy wanted 2 home runs, and he says, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put my whole heart and soul as a sign of my love. So Michael Jordan said, I'm going to play this game out of love for my dad, and I'm going to play my heart out. So he was playing the basketball game not to please man, not to please himself, but as a sign of his love for his father, Roger Clemens was pitching one game as a sign of his love for his mother. All these people, they did it as a sign of their love. Well, if we do something, you know, we could do the same thing. I'm going to play this game. I'm going to work this worksheet out of love for my mom as a sign that I love her so much. And, of course, you know, these people are deceased, so they really know how much heart we put into it, not necessarily on the outcome. But if we did this out of love for God, imagine if we love God above all else, and then we played our basketball game out of love for God, we'd do better than if we played our basketball game out of love for our dad. Why? Because we love God more than our dad. We love God more than our mom. We love God more than our girlfriend or our boyfriend or our friends or even the people at work or at school. So we'll be doing the best we can. Super job, right? Amazing. Imagine if Michael Jordan played his game that caliber quality as he played after he played for the death of his father. Imagine if he played every game like that. Well, he could. If he played that game out of love for God, wow, he'll be doing it so well. Now, what happens if you fail? Let's say you're doing your homework out of love for God. You're doing the best that you can. What happens if you fail? And because just because you're dumb, you know, maybe you get F's regularly. And now you got a D, and you did it, or maybe you get D's regularly, and this time you got an F, but you really did it the best you could. You really did it out of love for God. You really said, okay, and this, and again, it has to be an act of the will. You have to stop beforehand for a moment, just pause, and you can say, Lord, I offer you this activity out of love for you. Take this as a sign of my love for you, right? And a good example of this before I go on to what happens if you fail. A good example of this, if you've ever seen the movie The Princess Bride, what a fun movie, a beautiful movie. It's kind of a chick flick, it's kind of a guy flick, but it's funny. It's got Andre the Giant, it's got a lot of good quotes, good one-liners. Well, in this movie, in the beginning, there's Princess Buttercup, and she had the servant Wesley, and she would say to Wesley, hey, or she would say, hey, farm boy, fetch me that water. And farm boy would say, as you wish. Oh, farm boy, do this for me, as you wish. Oh, farm boy, do this for me, as you wish. And then the narrator goes on to say, and every time Wesley was saying, as you wish, what he really meant was, I love you. So you might be able to relate to this. Maybe you're just a teenage guy, and or you remember from your teenage years when you were in love, and you had a crush on the girl who sat next to you, or maybe you had a crush on the neighbor, and the girl drops her pencil. And you bend over, and you pick up the pencil, and you say, here you go. Or you say, oh, let me water the lawn for you, my neighbor, you're so beautiful. And you're watering the lawn, and you really are saying when you're watering the lawn, I love you, 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 right? Right? This is the same way we can do our activities for God. We offer it to God, and with our very being, with our very activity, we're saying to Him, I love you. When you're drinking your water, I love you. Just like if you would any other person, if you're trying to express your love to another person without words, you do this with your actions. Because guess what? Your words are meaningless. I once read a story from the life of St. Jose Maria Escriva, where one of the people he was directing, they said that they kept telling God that I love them. I love you, God. And that he heard a voice in return. This person heard a voice that said, yes, but love is more than just sweet words. And he was like, wow. And it means what? It means you show your love for somebody by your actions, by your sacrifice, by doing things for them, by sacrificing your will for the will of God. And this is really meritorious. This is really where we become saints. And then we do it with love. So how could this make us a saint? Let's say, for example, and don't worry, I haven't forgotten about what we're originally talking about, what happens when you fail. But this is important before we get there. So imagine you're a janitor. So, because again, God has a will for you, has a plan, and everybody's plan is different, but it's no less meritorious. So imagine you're the janitor, and you have a job to mop up the floor. Well, you can do it, and you know this is God's will, but you could be one type of janitor who's mopping the floor and grumbling, oh, I hate this work. I hate these kids. Why do they keep dropping their food on the floor? How come they can't learn how to eat properly and don't drop food on the floor? Oh, little wretched rascals. Oh, if I only could hit you in the head. Well, that person might be doing God's will, but this person's going to be damned because why? He's doing his will. He's doing God's will so poorly. He's basically rejecting God and he's only doing it because he's forced to. Versus the person who's going like this, I love you, Jesus. I love you. I love you. Every push of the mop, I love you. Oh, this kid dropped food on the floor. More food, more for me to offer to you, Lord. I love you so much. I love you. And you're pushing this not because your boss is telling you you got to clean the floor and clean it good, but you're cleaning this floor out of a sign, out of your love for God. And you can do any activity. And what I always tell people is that if there's an activity that you can't do that glorifies God in some way, shape, or form, then that's the activity that you should not be doing. Can you glorify God playing basketball? Yes, you can glorify God playing basketball. You play your heart out. You shoot that ball, try in perfect form out of love for God. And then what will happen is you'll be holy. You'll be great. You're doing your homework. Because this is the thing. We're so dumb and we're so mentally irregular that we don't realize that God is calling us to be holy in the present moment. You have to go to work. You have to go to school. Don't be an idiot. If you're going to have to do these activities anyways, at least let these activities make you a saint, you moron. It doesn't take you doing different work. You're going to be a saint doing the same work. You have to change your attitude. If you don't change your attitude, you're going to go to hell. You're going to be miserable. But if you change your attitude, you're going to be a great saint like the little flower Saint Therese. You're going to be a great saint like Saint Jose Maria Escriva. You're going to be a great saint in the mirrored in the image of the Blessed Virgin Mary. You're going to be a saint, period. If you do it this way, there's no other way than in the little things. I used to hear children tell me, oh, I wish I could be a martyr. I wish I could be a martyr too. But how about this? How about you start with the little things? If you don't have the ability to do the little things in the moment that God's calling you to do, what makes you think that you're going to be able to lift a mountain if you can't lift a pebble? And you can't lift a pebble without the grace of God. And that returns us to humility. So when you're going pebble by pebble, you're going to say, yes, this is God's will right now. I'll do God's will right now with your help, O Lord. And then the pebbles, pebbles, pebbles. And then there's a boulder. But you're approaching this boulder as if it's no different from a pebble because it's the same thing. I can't lift this boulder without your grace, O Lord. And you've helped me to lift the pebbles. And the pebble is no different from a boulder in the hands of God. They're both little bitty things. They're basically nothing. So with God's grace, I can lift boulders. I can lift mountains. I can lift pebbles. I can lift whatever you want me to lift. Just tell me where to go and lift it. And I'll put my shovel in and I'll dig it and I'll go and do whatever the will of the Lord is, and he'll provide me the grace in the present moment. By worrying about the boulders, you're missing out on the pebbles, and pebbles make boulders. You can be sunk and you can have a bunch of sand kill you if it's dropped on your head. So don't disregard the sand. Don't disregard the little pebbles in the present moment. Mother Teresa tells us what? She tells us that the least activity when done for God, infinite in value. Even if it's just a glass of water, when it's done out of love for God and it's done with love, you get infinite grace. Regardless of how it turns out in the end, you did your best. So this is bringing us back to what we were talking about. Let's say, for example, you fail. You did your best. Well, I'll give you an analogy. Have you ever gone through the box of materials that used to make, you know, your mom's old crafts book, her chest that she contains all of her old memories, all of her keepsakes, and you've gone through the book and you find the little macaroni picture that you made for her in the first grade, and there's macaroni there, and it's pasted there with glue, and it's so ugly. And the macaroni is falling off, and there's like only 3 macaronis left in the picture, and it's just glue stuck to a paper with little lines in blue and green, and they're just making random lines and shapes. And then you say, Mom, this is garbage, throw it away. No, I'm keeping this. Why? It's garbage. Look at it. It's garbage. You made it for me. You made it for me. I'm keeping that. This is special. This is what moms do. The garbage you make for them when they're in the first and second grade or kindergarten, they keep it. Why? It's garbage. Because that garbage you made out of love for them. That garbage was the best you could do at the moment. And you made that ugly Mother's Day card. You made that ugly Christmas card out of love for them. Sure, it's garbage. I remember one time about my mom, the ugliest earrings that I had ever seen. They were ugly when I was, you know, when I'm an adult. I look at them, they look like fish larvae. I don't know what fish larvae look like, but they look like some type of gestational product from some type of fish or insect. And they were just hideous, hideous earrings. And my mom still kept them. And I said, throw those things away, those are garbage. She's like, no, you bought those for me when you were 6 years old. And I said, ugh, they're ugly. And she even wore them one time. Because I was like, Mom, why did you wear my earrings? Wow, why did she do this? Because she loves me. The same way with God. You offer him your homework. Even if your teacher says it's garbage, guess what? In the eyes of the Lord, This is a cherished memory that you made out of love for him. Even though your boss says your mopping is worse than the mopping of a person who had no arms and no legs and had no brain, well, guess what? In the eyes of the Lord, he's so pleased with that. That's why Mother Teresa says that God calls us not to be successful, to be faithful, because it's the quality that we put into it. It's not the amount of work. It's not the amount of souls that we actually save. It's the heart and the soul and the love that we put in to doing God's will in the present moment. And then that's what glorifies God the most. Now, yes, it could glorify God in a great way. If you were very successful and you did it with great love for God and you did it with great humility, and this is the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is, when you do all of these activities the way you should, you unite your will to the will of God out of love, sacrifice, not for yourself. You're doing so the key is, do the activities you're already doing with great love, out of love for God. Sometimes you'll pause and you'll say, Lord, I offer you this. Help me to do this well. I don't care about the outcome, but I'm going to put my heart and soul, and I'm going to do this as if it's the last thing I can do to offer as my sign of love for you. Yeah, sometimes it can be elaborated, and sometimes you need to elaborate just to help yourself be recollected, just to help you get your mind right. But sometimes all you need to do is lift up your heart to God. Sometimes all you need to do is remember that God is present there with you. It's simple. You don't always have to be speaking to God, but you must always be aware of His presence. It's kind of like if you have somebody spend the night at your house, or you go to the mall with a friend, even though I don't recommend going to the mall very often because it's just a source of a lot of temptations there, especially for girls, vanity for guys, lust. Okay, anyways. But let's say you go to somewhere with your friends and, you know, you meet some other people there. Do you forget that your friend is there next to you? No, you might not be speaking to her because you have to say hello, or you have to speak to him because you might have to say hello to somebody else, but you haven't forgotten them there, right? God is always with us. Let's not ignore Him. Let's keep a sense of His presence. And sometimes that's all we need, is to think of God, and we know automatically, and we have a sense of His presence, and we know what we should be doing. Sometimes we must recollect ourselves and ask God's help with words, not because we have to have this disposition that we always need His help, and that nothing good can ever come from ourselves without His assistance. And sometimes it requires words, and sometimes it doesn't. But when it doesn't, those are the graces where even God is giving you the grace to help you focus more. And so you say, you're about to play a basketball game, Lord, help me have a sense of your presence and assist me with allowing me to be recollected immediately after this task and to return to my perfect worship and adoration of you. And if you do this, you'll notice that your activities are always going to be far better than if you had done it on your own. So if you're going to take a test, don't you know that if you do it out of love for God, not only will it make you holy, but most likely, 99.99% of the time, it's going to be done better than if you ever had done it on your own? It's true. When I was in university, my bachelor's, I was going for a math and engineering degree. And after I was bombing one of my physics courses, and the only way I could keep going was because I had an A in it was my first theology class, my first real theology class. It wasn't a core requirement. And I got an A in that theology class, so I was like, okay, I better do more theology. So I dropped the engineering, I kept the math. But my math grades were like C+, they're weak, right? Well, I started doing my theology homework in the chapel. I started taking my math homework to the chapel and saying, all right, Lord, You created all the creation. You created math. I'm going to offer this math for you. Help me with your assistance so that I can do this math right. Next thing you know, I'm getting A's in every class, B's in every class. And I wasn't doing it for the A's. I wasn't doing it for the B's. I was just doing it because I have to do it anyways. I'm going to do it here in your presence because I hate it and because I'm too weak to even do it out of love, even though I know I should, that I have to actually be in your presence when I'm doing it just to keep me from shuddering. I put a picture of St. Gemma on my differential equations textbook because it was such an ugly book and the memories of differential equations were so miserable, and St. Gemma is so attractive to the eyes and so attractive to the soul. And so I just did anything possible to just get me through this and offer this sacrifice to God. And I started getting A's in everything. Basketball, the same way. There you are playing basketball only for the love of God. Everybody knows this. You're praying before the game. You don't have to be, praying, out loud. But you're praying in silence. And you can invite other people to pray. That'll definitely be a witness and a sign of the real presence of God. And what happens? The ball at the end of the game. Bounce, 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 bounce at the rim. Oh, I've only got 5 seconds on the buzzer. It keeps bouncing, 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 bouncing. And the ball goes in. Wow. You say, Lord, I did that for you. I did that for you. Oh, but reality, did You do that for the Lord, that bouncing? No, He made you successful. Did God make that ball go in? Permissive will. Maybe the ball didn't go in. Also permissive will. One more thing you can offer up out of love for God, that you're going to keep trying. You fail in your game, you keep trying. You fail in your test, you keep trying. You say, I'm used to failing, Lord. I'm going to keep failing, but I'm going to keep doing it for love of You. And then that way, when you don't fail, you'll be so surprised. You'll never be disappointed. And now, why else do I say that God will help you do better than if you ever did it for your own sake or for the sake of somebody else? For example, let's imagine that it's Mother's Day and you're just a kid. You're just a teenager. And you said, okay, this Mother's Day, I'm going to do something really special for my mom. I really love my mother. And so what do? I'm going to bake Mama a cake. That's what I'll do. I'll bake her a good chocolate cake. She loves chocolate. I'll put red icing. Her favorite color is red. All right. And then, so what do? I put the chocolate cake in the oven. I put it for 15 minutes at 650 degrees because I want it to be done a little bit faster. It's supposed to be 30 minutes or 20 minutes for 450, but I say 650. All right, turn the heat up a little bit. All right, it'll be done faster. And then so you're like, I'm Mr. Cool. I did the cake for my mom. I'm going to go to the bathroom and fix my hair and say how cool I am in the mirror and wash my face. And then Mama says, I smell something. What is my son doing in the kitchen? He's making me a present? Oh, all right, I'm going to go take a peek. Even though Mama, she knows that it's a secret. She goes and takes a peek and she looks in the oven. Ooh, cake, chocolate cake. And then she looks at the temperature. 650 degrees. He's going to burn the house down. What is this kid thinking? And then what does she do? She changes the temperature to 450 or whatever it belongs, 375. Why? Because she doesn't want you to burn the house down. Why else? Because she doesn't want you to have a broken heart. You've done all this work out of love for her. And then she fixes your mess and your mistake. And then she goes away. You come out of the bathroom. You get the cake out. The cake is done. Oh, it looks so good. It looks so beautiful. Ah, and you never even noticed that the temperature was different. You take it out. Oh, Mama, here's your cake. I made this because I love you. Oh, my son, come here. Give me a big kiss. I love you. Mwah. This cake is so tasty. You're the best son ever. I love it. I love it. I love it. In reality, what you made was garbage. What you made was ashes. What you made was a disaster that not only displeased Mama, but it was going to burn the whole house down and put everybody out because of your act of love. But what did God do? What does God do with our actions? He fixes them. He makes a little tweak. He doesn't let us ruin our own life because we did it out of love for Him. Not so much because it makes us, it makes us glorify that He fixes our mistakes and that He helps us to do a good job, but because it's a sign of His love back to us. It's kind of like the kid who goes and buys his daddy a present and says, Dad, look, I bought you this present. I bought you this tie. And then the daddy says, oh, thank you, my son. And he thinks to himself, I gave the kid the 20 bucks myself. This is my money. He's buying me a gift with my own money. But anyways, he's doing it out of love. Let me hug my son, right? This is the same way God is. You're doing all these activities out of love for God, and you're succeeding, and you're doing it with His grace. And you think you're special? Yeah, you're special because you're God's son and because you love Him. But your activities, your success doesn't make you special. It's the love, it's the way you respond, it's the sacrifice that you show that makes it special. Sometimes people say, oh, come on, it's the thought that counts. Yes, this gift that this person gave me shows that they think garbage of me. They put no thought into this gift, right? So let's put a lot of thought into doing God's will. And this is the important thing. You can do something out of love for God. So I was saying earlier that doing God's will is the most important. And once we start with that, then we add the love. Well, guess what? Why is that the most important? You can do something out of love for God and you're doing it so loving, but guess what? You're not doing God's will. It's kind of like when you ask somebody, can you please bring a salad to the party? I really need you to bring a salad. I'll bring anything you want. Can you bring a salad, please? I can bring dessert too. No, just a salad. I can make a really good casserole. Oh, we have everything. Just bring a salad, please. We really need a salad. Okay, I'll bring a salad. And then what do they do? Instead, they brought homemade drinks. They made punch. They did it with a lot of love. It's such a good punch. They didn't bring the salad. I asked you to bring a salad. You didn't bring me the salad. I understand you made the punch, but we needed a salad. Okay, that's a minimal example. But the most important thing is doing God's will because He has a plan for your life. He has a plan to make you holy. He's got a plan to make you happy. He's got a plan to save souls. Sacrifice your will for the love of God. And you're not going to do this sacrifice unless you have humility, unless you realize just how wretched you are, just how good God is to you, and just how beautiful it is that He's got a plan for your life to glorify Him, to make you happy and holy, despite yourself, despite your sins. This is the foundation for the spiritual life. I don't care what anybody else says. It's a bunch of boo-boo. Why do you think so many Catholics are walking around? They don't know how to pray. They don't know how to act. They don't know anything about the spiritual life. It's not difficult. It's very easy and systematic. It's not difficult to be holy. It's just doing the little things with great love. It's doing God's will in the present moment. St. Maximilian again taught us the will of God, big W plus little w equals S, equals sanctification, equals holiness, equals happiness, equals it's all there. All with the foundation of humility. But remember, if you don't keep going back to the reflection on your own weaknesses, on what you really deserve, then you'll be puffed up with pride. You'll never be happy. You'll always think that somebody owes you something. You'll always think that you're so great. You'll always think all of these things. You'll always do your will, but you won't ever realize that you're gonna be damned because you give no glory to God. You don't love God. You don't love His will. How can you tell me you love God if you don't ever reflect on what He's done for you? How can you tell me you love God if you don't ever seek to do God's will? If you don't ever sacrifice out of love for God? You only give out of your bounty, but you don't ever give out of your necessity. Trust God. Have great confidence that what He's calling you to do in the present moment, He'll give you the grace to do it. This is how great things are done. They're done one little step at a time. A great cathedral, the great cathedrals of the ancient time that still exist, they were built one little brick at a time. If you're not willing to carry the bricks, you're not going to build a great cathedral. If you're not willing to do the little things, if you're not willing to be chaste and faithful and reliable and pure in the everyday activities of your life, you're not going to be a chaste and faithful and pure spouse. If you're not willing to be a sacrificial person in the every moment of your life, you're not going to be a victim priest. If you're not willing to make the sacrifices in the present moment, you're not going to be a true Christian. You're not going to be an ultra Christus. But again, the foundation for all of this is humility. If you stick to humility, you'll be safe. You'll only stick to humility if you ask for the grace, if you have the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, because she's the one who really models humility for us the best, besides Jesus Christ, because He's God. We also ask the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, because she's truly man, only human, pure human. And where does Jesus get His flesh? Where does Jesus, how does He take on the humility? He takes on the flesh, the literal human flesh, the humble flesh of Our Lady is His own flesh. So even God Himself chose to use the flesh of the Blessed Virgin Mary to make His humility real. It's the humility of the Blessed Virgin Mary that He's clothed with, and His divinity shines forth most clearly through her because she's being humble. It's easier to see the glory of God through her. We can look at the sun and we'll be blinded. We can look at the moon and see the reflection of the sun. God bless you and God love you. Please share this information with others. Please practice this regularly and don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged when you fail in your activities. Remind yourself, if I fail, it's because of myself, but I did it with great love. Because sometimes God will help you not to be successful for your own good. Why? Because He doesn't want you to be doing things out of love just so that you can be successful. He wants it to be a sincere gift of love. Do you keep coming back? Do you keep loving? Do you keep giving? Even though you're a failure, do you remember it's the heart that counts? All right, this is the key to holiness. This is the key to happiness. It's not difficult. It's very simple. Keep in mind your concupiscence. This is the foundation for how we live our daily life outside of our devotions, outside of our sacramental life. This is our spirituality, a spirituality of humility. Why humility? Because it's the truth. And if you're not living the spirituality, you're an egghead and you're deluded and you're confusing yourself for somebody greater than you really are. All right? Yes, you are made in the image and likeness of God. You're a king, but you act like an ape. Don't pretend like you don't act like an ape. You're broken. You're a broken pot. The Lord will fix you, but you have to be willing to be used His way. If you're going to follow the spirituality of St. Maximilian Kolbe, you're an instrument. Well, guess what? You're a broken instrument. But in the hands of Our Lady, when you're full of humility, in the hands of God, you can be used to do great, great, great things. All right. Let's focus on doing God's will in the present moment. having great confidence, not to worry about the future. And this is a task. This is a virtue, a good habit. That means you're going to have to practice this again and again and again and again and again. And when you fail, just return to that simple adoration and constant conversation with God. And then when you're done, say, Lord, I'm sorry, I forgot. I forgot to think of you. I forgot to invoke you. I forgot to have a sense of your presence. Please, I'm used to failing. Thank you for giving me the grace to recognize my failures. Help me to succeed in the future. All right, this is the secret of the saints. Now that we know, the only way we're going to be successful is if we ask God for the grace to put this, make this real in our life. God bless you. God love you. Again, do God's will. How do you know God's will? Your duties, your conscience, big time, listening to your conscience, reflecting, taking time out, praying a decade of the rosary when you really can't discern well. Now you know what God's will is. Then what do? You sacrifice your will. The words of Jesus, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Pick up your plus sign, unite your will, sacrifice it out of love for God, deny yourself, and unite it to the will of God. Now, again, this is done with love. So we know what it is. We know how to do it. It's done. And then it will be true that Jesus said what Jesus said, that his burden is easy and his yoke is light. It ceases to be a cross once you are united to the will of God and you do it out of love. Once you've embraced this, you've embraced his will, it becomes sweet. It becomes fulfilling. And when you reject his will and you know what his will is, it becomes bitter. It becomes a real burden. All right. God bless you and God love you. Let us pray. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To you do we come, before you we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. Blessed Virgin Mother, we ask that you give us the grace to have a sense of God's presence, to have a sense of your presence as if you're always walking with us. Help us to realize that when we hold our rosaries, we hold your hand, that we are never alone, that it's only in our imaginations that we're alone. Help us to let go of the past. Help heal our hearts from all of our brokenness. Help us to have great confidence that God will provide in the present moment and not to worry about the future, that his providence takes care of everything, that all good things are only good because of God and all things lead to the good for those who love them. Just trust in his confidence. When bad things come, we follow the will of God. We accept them joyfully and lovingly because they're God's will. And brighter days will shine. All right, Blessed Mother, we're trusting you. We encounter you here with our Lord in this humility. We ask you, Jesus, help save us from ourselves. Save our loved ones. Let not your sacrifice on the cross be in vain. And may all glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. And to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day. I'm going inside. It's hot.